Welcome to the LDN Radio Show, brought to you by the LDN Research Trust. I'm your host, Linda Elsiegood. I have an exciting lineup of guest speakers who are LDN experts in their field. We will be discussing low-dose naltrexone and its many uses in autoimmune diseases, cancers, etc. Thank you for joining us.
I'd like to introduce Stephen from the United States, who takes LDN for reactive arthritis and fibromyalgia. Thank you for joining me, Stephen.
Good morning, Linda.
Could you tell us
glad
when
to be
you...
here.
Thank you. Could you tell us when you first noticed there was something wrong with you and how old you were at the time?
It was approximately 5 years ago, 5 years and a couple months. I was aware of tremendous body pain, just the whole thing. My whole body was like I was in a vice, and the symptom was kind of a typical rheumatoid arthritis type pain, which I first got diagnosed with, where my hands and wrists were very painful and swollen.
And how old were you, Steve?
I was 65 years old.
Mm-hmm. So were you still working or had you retired?
No, I had been retired. I'm a retired commercial Alaska commercial fisherman.
Okay. What were you able to do with the pain? Were you able to look after yourself or was it completely debilitating?
It was not complete debilitation. The pains were singular. Those symptoms at the time, and I was in such shock and such pain that I was attending a dietetic conference with my wife in Salt Lake City, Utah area, and I went to a doctor at United Healthcare, and he gave me a sack full of Vicodin and high-dose prednisone to take to fight the inflammation and reduce the pain. And naturally, the prednisone improved my condition greatly, and I felt good for about a week or 10 days, and then I had the same attack and saw another doctor who said, "You have something wrong here, buddy." And he ordered some lab tests and referred me to a rheumatologist in a city in Washington State that we were traveling to. The blood work, the lab work was analyzed by the rheumatologist, and he diagnosed me as having rheumatoid arthritis and prescribed methotrexate and a constant dose of prednisone. Mm-hmm. Do you wish me to continue, Linda?
Yes, please do.
Okay. The following sequence from that was it didn't help very much and didn't have a very good rapport at all, or nor respect for that rheumatologist's knowledge and practice. I then went to a doctor who was an associate dean of the Dean of Rheumatology at the University of Washington Medical Center in Seattle. And he diagnosed me with seronegative rheumatoid, rheumatoid arthritis. And we went on the same treatments, albeit more of both, which I did for approximately 6 months to no avail. And so he then prescribed a biologic drug called Humira, which I did not respond to either. I was still maintaining the same amount of pain and I would have, you know, regular flare-ups and end up having to take quite high doses of prednisone to control it. And I went on that regimen for about, I think, 4 or 5 months, and I changed areas. I moved to Utah State, and the city that I moved to did not have any rheumatologists, so I searched out a very good and very knowledgeable doctor in Las Vegas. She was pretty perfect. She had been on the educated at the Mayo Clinic or done her internship there. She was on the teaching staff at UC Irvine where she did it, her internship. She was instantly familiar with what I had and all the medications, and she changed my medication to Remicade, and Remicade has a mouse or a murine connection in its makeup or origin, and I ended up being allergic to that. So after I took it for a period of time, I said, if I'm going to take prednisone all the time, why don't I just take prednisone instead of this $1,000 a week medicine that doesn't seem to work? She then dropped me off of it, and she said, well, if that's the case, you are allergic to it. And she put me on a medicine called Rituxan, which is a hospital infusion, and it's a very expensive one. I don't know what the actual insurance payments are from, you know, insurance and Medicaid and my co-pays, but I know that the initial bills are $30,000 per administration, so I'm sure they get paid half of that. So that's a drug that you take every 2 weeks for a month and a half, and then you go into four times a year. So that was that. And I did not respond to that either. At that time, my kind and good rheumatologist said, you have something wrong and different. And she and her assistant, physician's assistant, interviewed me at length. You know, it was kind of like a brainwashing investigation you would see during a movie, a wartime movie. At any rate, her initial reaction was that I had psoriatic arthritis. She sent me to a radiology clinic and had my body x-rayed and said, what you have, my friend and good patient, is reactive arthritis. You have bone markers that are very similar to ankylosing spondylitis, but they're different shapes. So you get spinal fusing. Instead of wedging, it's kind of rounded deposits between your vertebrae and your pelvis fuses and stuff like that. So those are markers for that disease. And changed my medication to Enbrel. So shortly after, I'll back up a little bit. Shortly after I became her patient, she also diagnosed me, you know, or almost immediately as her patient, she said, you also have fibromyalgia big time. And so you've got a confusion of symptoms, and your reactive rheumatoid arthritis manifests itself in fibromyalgia type pains. It exacerbates your fibro symptoms. So anyway, when I went back to where I am, I'm taking Cymbalta for fibromyalgia and the Enbrel for the reactive arthritis, and it did make me feel better for a period of time. You know, I felt instantly better, but I continued to have big, what everybody calls flare-ups, that I would have to control with prednisone. Mm-hmm. And sometime before that, when people have this, as you and all of the people on the website group on Facebook, you're kind of condemned to a life of misery and understand that you have an affliction that is not curable. only slightly controllable, but never curable, which is very depressing to experience. So I started reading about LDN as a kind of an alternate medication for immunodeficiency, and was curious about it and knew little about it. So I read and searched, and it was kind of a ongoing quest, so to speak, to find out more and more about it. I talked to wellness doctors, Julian Whitaker at the Whitaker Wellness Group in Newport Beach, California, and he said that he used it. I spoke with him personally. You know, he uses it for rheumatoid arthritis in conjunction with a low-dose antibiotic to great success. I read the histories, the Dr. Bahiri, the Dr. Zagon, the Dr. McLaughlin, what they did that was so interesting because, you know, 30, 35 years ago, whatever it is, it was trial and error, you know, and how they understood or had the insight to attempt it was amazing to me. So at any rate, I explained, I showed some of the information to my rheumatologist, and she said, come on, Steve, don't be looking at that internet crap. There isn't any magic there. So I went away and continued to take my Humira, and then I printed information from LDN Research Trust and low-dose naltrexone and the conference and anything I could get my hands on that had both an element of complicity that was complex, that would explain how this stuff worked to a certain extent. You know, give me three paragraphs that tells you how this stuff works in your brain and some success stories. So I went in armed with my quarterly lab tests and three or four pertinent sheets on top, and then about a quarter of an inch of printouts and websites underneath it, which I gave to the doctor, my primary care doctor, and my rheumatologist. So I then asked them to look at it and form an opinion to assist me. I didn't walk in and tell them I wanted it or stomp on their toes. I want them to be the doctor, but I wanted to educate them about it. And so I just presented them the information. And about a month later, for both of the doctors, I made an appointment. And my primary care doctor said, well, see, there's no real, I don't see a reason not to take it. And I do see that there's many possible reasons to take this low-dose naltrexone. Mm-hmm. And my rheumatologist pretty much echoed what the primary said. It's fine with me. It sounds like a good idea. You are the most difficult patient I've ever had to diagnose. You know, you're a pain in the butt, Steve. You're really hard to diagnose. And so that kind of freed me to move ahead. Mm-hmm. And my local area, doing the searches for prescribing doctors, mentioned a naturopathic doctor, Dr. Rick Jensen, in St. George, Utah. And I contacted him and made an appointment and took all my current blood lab work to him and explained my history. And he had been not a frequent but occasional prescriber of low-dose naltrexone. And he's one of the ones that was like the early practitioners. His education had led him to using a low-dose antibiotic with it. And the one that he suggested and that I am taking is called minocycline. So I take 4.5 milligrams of LDN, and I started at 100 milligrams of minocycline and am reducing it to 50 milligrams of minocycline. We also have in the area, and I quote, what they refer to as an award-winning compounding pharmacist. The name's Cliff Holt at Hurricane Family Pharmacy. And he urged me to take the antibiotic with it as well, because he just said, you'll have better results. My observation of people that do this, and this pharmacist compounds it for a lot of doctors in Salt Lake City, which is the biggest city in the state, Utah, and it's 300 miles away. So there's obviously compounding pharmacies in Salt Lake City, but how he gets the business or why, I'm not aware of. I just know that he's one of these guys who's kind of like the Skip Lambs. He's conscientious and he's involved with his patients, customers. I started out with Dr. Jensen, and Dr. Jensen said most people with an immunodeficiency, cancers, you know, MS, lupus, whatever it is, but particularly the type you have underlying superbugs. So he had me lab tested for six infections. One of I can't remember the name of one, but it is indeed the aftermath of one of the major infections I had in my life, which I got hospitalized for and fed the IV antibiotics. About 12 years ago, I also had contracted pneumonia, and he said that pneumonia has three stages. The initial one that they, quote, cure, unquote, you with antibiotics. And then he said there's two stages of it that continue that in your life under the sheets. And those underlying infections that pretty much don't go away are the reason that the low-dose antibiotic works so well in conjunction with this low-dose naltrexone. Just together, they're doing the same thing and kind of keeping your immune system at bay, especially when the opioid growth factor gets stimulated and the receptors have lots of OGFs to receive. So we went through that. I was amazed to have a familiar guy. I was very lucky to have a doctor who's sympathetic and familiar right in my own backyard. There was, you know, taking the information about LDN to my rheumatologist and my doctor initially was like, they're like everybody else. There's a political humorist from the 30s in the United States named Will Rogers. And one of his quotes is, there's nothing so stupid in the world as an educated man if you get him off of the subject in which he is educated. Mm-hmm. Same thing with doctors. But they're familiar with. And their human nature is all change is painful. So they don't really head look for change. They look for things that work that they're familiar with. Mm-hmm. So back to get on track with you, Linda. I started taking this doctor started me out not on the 1.53, 4.5. He started me out at 1.25 milligrams of LDN for 10 days and then 2.5 for 10 days and then 3.75 for 10 days. And then I went to 4.5 after 1 month, all the while taking, again, this minocycline antibiotic with it. So I take the LDN at nighttime prior to going to bed, as suggested. The results of taking the low-dose naltrexone was I wasn't quite instantly aware of the fact that something had changed for me. But after 4 days, my fibromyalgia symptoms, which were like somebody is inside of my arms and upper body with a couple of 15 gauge syringe needles and they're stabbing them from the inside out. That was kind of my sensation. After about 4 days, those symptoms had nearly gone. And when a week came, they were gone. And I quit taking 60 milligram Cymbalta because that was the supposed fibromyalgia drug. After 10 days came, I increased to 2.5 milligrams of the low-dose naltrexone. And 2 weeks after I began, 4 days after I increased to 2.5 milligrams, I stopped taking what is, and I think that it's a rheumatoid arthritis drug, named Areva or leflunomide, and that was 20 milligrams. And I stopped taking that. And I stopped the Cymbalta cold turkey, which I didn't know you're not supposed to do, but I had no side effect from it, no withdrawal, no adverse, you know, reactions. And I had no adverse, or I had no knowledgeable sensation of anything from stopping either one of these medicines. After 20 days, as I said, I went to 3.75 milligrams of low-dose naltrexone. And so I was at 3 weeks, and my concern there was, should I stop taking Enbrel? And on your group sites, there, you know, some of you are, you or your peers, Phyllis maybe, said that there are some people who have stopped taking their biologics. Other members of the group said, why would you ever want to stop taking your biologic? Because it keeps your body from attacking these healthy tissues, which you are so aware of, and deteriorating from. So I kind of made my own decision after attempting to educate myself about the way this stuff works and what's happened over time. I also got to the point to where, like, I feel like a lot of people that are concerned about taking LDN should just take it. Take it and see what happens. There's no big side effects. I mean, the only one that I'm aware of is that a lot of women have trouble sleeping. And there's a hell of a lot more people that don't have trouble sleeping. So when you put that into effect, there is no downside. And my decision was that I had been miserable as hell for 4 years and 9 months. And so stop taking the drug that I'm miserable taking is, there's no consequence. There's no downside to it. So I stopped taking it. And that was nearly 2 months and 10 days ago.
Okay.
And I'm doing fine. I'm pretty much still pain free. My hands are not as swollen as they used to be. My occupations have been, I grew up on a dairy farm and then was a construction worker and a commercial fisherman. So I've had skeletal issues like back surgeries, knee surgeries, hernias, bilateral Achilles tendons, tears in a ski accident, and chondrocalcinosis in my joints. I've got pretty much, you know, osteoarthritis throughout. And my rheumatologist said, Steve, you have enough wrong with you that you deserve to have some pain, even if you don't have an immune system disease. So my hand, the aftermath of stopping my traditional RA drugs and fibromyalgia drugs and going on the LDN is I'm literally pain-free, except for my hands. And that is only, I haven't really exercised in 5 years, and I have taken golf up again, and I have the energy and stamina to get through a complete 18-hole round of golf, where 3 or 4 months ago, if I tried to play 9 holes, I would have to come home and go to bed for 4 hours and then go to bed at 9 o'clock and sleep till 9 o'clock the next morning and be out of commission for another day. So my energy and stamina and my coordination necessary for golf is kind of coming back. I actually played a good round and, you know, scored well, as opposed to just going through the motions and spraying the ball all over the planet.
Mm-hmm. Could I ask you, before you started LDN, if we took sort of a typical day for you, if your quality of life was on a score of 1 to 10, 10 being the best, what would it have been?
my quality of life prior to taking LDN,
yes,
from a physical and mental perspective.
That's right, yes.
Three and a half.
And what would you say
three and a half
today?
Eight.
Well, that's pretty good and very quick as well.
Yeah, no, I some of the people on the in the groups, you know, they talk about how long does it work, and some people say, wow, and I said, yeah, it happened quick for me as far as I'm concerned. Like I said, in 4 days, in one day, the most pertinent and common and reoccurring pain was the fibromyalgia, erratic stabbing, and, you know, it makes you flinch or jump like electric shocks and stuff like that. So, yeah, I feel, like I said, I'm not perfect. I'm 70 years old. I've got scars from life and my occupation. And when you put that into context, I'm good. I'm happy.
What would you say to other people in a similar situation to yourself? What would you suggest they do?
Probably the thing that I've done is I have suggested to people who are curious about it, to educate themselves first and to arm themselves with informational articles that explain case histories. Number one, I would suggest that they take the history of the pioneers of the use of LDN and how they used it and why, and try to pick out what is pertinent for a doctor from a doctor who says why they did it and how it worked. And then the case histories can follow. But arm yourself with information that doesn't take forever to read or analyze. You have to have something that's straight to the point and summarized so you can get their attention as far as your doctors, to present to your doctors. Mm-hmm. The next thing is, I suggested, just as mine, a naturopath. It wasn't, naturopaths, like chiropractors, are not high on my list of go-to doctors. I'm kind of a pragmatic patient, and my occupation demanded that I am not sensitive to myself. Because an occupation that has you on your feet 20 or 22 hours a day, if you're sensitive to yourself, you're not going to be a competitive or productive physician. So my boon was just in my backyard, you know, the naturopaths, and I've searched them, and there are a lot of them who are familiar with this, how to treat these underlying, quote, superbugs, super infections, or the residual of them. And it seems like more than a few of them are familiar with low-dose naltrexone. And like this guy says, yeah, most of my peers, when I went to school, we learned about it. So he's a 40-some-year-old man, and he learned about LDN 20 years ago?
Wow.
I mean, God bless him. God bless him.
Thank you very much for sharing your amazing, inspirational story with us. Really do appreciate it.
Well, thanks for the call, Linda. I do, as I've said in my post, God bless this low-dose naltrexone, and also God bless the doctors who are willing to go outside of their box, who learn about it and help us. And my suggestion for people who know about it or get introduced to it is that it doesn't need a lot of hesitation there. Just try it. If you don't like it, you don't have to take it. If you don't get any results, you'll know. And, you know, as you folks have said, not everybody, it doesn't work for everybody. But it works for, my observation is it works for a bigger percentage than 50% of us. And for the, quote, success of conventional medications, that wasn't successful. It was just a slight reduction in more side effects. So Thank you. Thank you, Linda. I appreciate your interest, and thank you for what you and the rest of the staff there does.
Any questions or comments you may have, please email me, Linda, L-I-N-D-A, at ldnrt.org. I look forward to hearing from you. Thank you for joining us today. We really appreciated your company. Until next time, stay safe and keep well.